Today on Real Radio.
If Paul were to have asked his ministry friends, do you think that it'd be a good idea if I let the Corinthians or if I let the believers in on what it's like to be involved in ministry and how it is to care for the people of God? Do you think that's a good idea? His counselors would have told him, don't do it, Paul.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. There's a paragraph in the first chapter where Paul reveals that he and some fellow believers had experienced some earlier afflictions that were nearly unbearable. But then he goes on to say that all those troubles only caused them to rely on God alone to be delivered from them. It's one of the many scriptural lessons on how our Lord uses afflictions to bring about glory for Him and growth for us. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his mini-series called God's Plan in Our Troubles.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, picking it up now at verse 8. Paul says to the Corinthian believers, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us up from so, listen to this, great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. Verse 11, you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons or people on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. This is a profound several verses that Paul is sharing. We remember two messages ago when we gave the introduction of this particular book that Paul was presenting himself in a very, very warm-hearted setting, and it was going to cost him. I say it cost him because Paul was going to make himself very vulnerable to the readers at Corinth. And he bears his heart to them. He's being very personal to them. And this is a good thing, and I need you to hear this carefully. If Paul were to have asked his ministry friends, do you think that it'd be a good idea if I let the Corinthians or if I let the believers in on what it's like to be involved in ministry and how it is to care for the people of God? Do you think that's a good idea? His counselors would have told him, don't do it, Paul. Don't tell the people what it's really like. Number one, Paul, they won't believe you. Number two, you won't get anybody to get involved in ministry again after you tell them what it's really like. Paul, though, counters by letting them in. He lets them in to the meaning and purpose and ministry of what it is to be a believer. And this is important to us, especially for us in the West today. God wants you and I involved in His work. God wants us to be real, living, breathing Christians. Coupled together with the fact that in this world there's trouble. There's always trouble. And so when I say this morning God's plan in our troubles, what I mean by that is that God is at work in our troubles as believers, that He uses every painful, trying issue of our lives to develop you and I for eternity, yes, but to also be a minister to others. By way of introduction, church, jot this down. It's a verse you know well. It's John 14, 1. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus did not deny the fact that there's trouble. He says, don't let your heart be troubled in the sense that you're going to have, and the word in the Greek, by the way, is seismos. It's where we get the word seismology. There'll be earthquakes that will come against your heart. Just know this. You believe in God. Now watch, everybody. Jesus, if we could have watched Him, He would have been like this. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Watch. believe also in me. Why is this important? Because in trouble, Jesus is saying, between your troubles and God in heaven above, there's me, Jesus is saying. Between your trouble and between heaven, there's me. And the Bible says, by the way, in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator, one go-between between God and man, that is mankind, and that is the man Christ Jesus. One go-between. It's not some favorite pastor of yours. It's not some pope. It's not some priest. It's not some evangelist. It's not some religious leader. It's not some self-proclaimed apostle. There's one mediator between mankind and God, and it's none other than Jesus Christ himself. And so as we look at this, God's plan and our troubles, number one, mark it down, Christian, it is this. Verse 8, we need to be in the know. Write that down. We need to be in the know. That is, we need to be informed. Look at verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. What do we mean by that? What is Paul saying? He is saying that you need to know something, Christians. And you need to be in the know that we have unlimited access to God. We have unlimited access, and he says right now, and it's a great word. By the way, he's not offending us. When we see the English word ignorant, we view that as an insult today, and that's unfortunate. The word ignorant, agneo, it means that you have available to you information, but you don't avail yourself of it. It's not that you're ignorant because you are unable to learn. The word here is that you are ignorant because you're choosing not to learn. We would say today, willfully ignorant. Does that help? If someone is willfully ignorant, that means you've got everything available. You've got a library in front of you. You've got the Bible within reach, or you've got the newspaper or the map before you, and you still don't know. Would you agree with me today that perhaps more than ever, we are a people, a culture that prides itself on knowing a little tiny bit about everything, but we don't know much about anything? And when someone says, I don't know about you, but I just, my discern-o-meter goes up when someone says, next we're going to have an expert speaking on this issue. Oh, brother, what makes them an expert? Well, let me tell you right now, Jesus is an expert on life and death, on troubles, eternity, and forever. And he's your expert regarding your life. Dr. Phil? No, Jesus Christ. Oprah? No, Holy Spirit. Should I call Dr. Laura? No, call upon God. And the number one thing is understanding that we have unlimited access. So he says, number one, Christian, don't be ignorant about these things. Concerning the troubles which we had in Asia. Very tremendous statement. What troubles is he talking about? There are numerous. We won't go through them now because we will come to them in 2 Corinthians. But some of them were the fact that he was arrested. Paul had been beaten several times. He had been arrested numerous times. At one point, he was stoned with rocks and left for dead. But here, regarding troubles, Paul is saying, don't be ignorant. Christian, he is saying, you should have no dilemma. You should not be rocked. You should not be moved. You should not be threatened by the fact that Christians in this world will suffer and we're going to have troubles. And he said, look, it happened to me when I was ministering for God in Asia. And so we shouldn't be shaken also. Don't be uninformed. Do not be willfully ignorant. That word ignorant means, as I said a moment ago, selecting or choosing not to know. The word means to be unwilling to know. It's available, but you don't. There's the Bible. I don't read it. I can go to prayer and find out what God wants me to do, but I don't do it. Have you ever met somebody who just perpetually makes the wrong decisions over and over again? And then you ask them, did you pray about it? Well, you know, I mean, I don't know, kind of so. When they start dancing with words like that or they hesitate, boom, you got them. Did you pray about that? Well, you know, I married this guy, and he turned out to be a real jerk. And did you pray about it? Well, he was just so doggone cute. Oh, I took this job on, and boy, you know, I gave up this career, and I took this job on, or I entered into a partnership with this woman or with this man, and we started this business or that deal, and it all fell apart. Listen. God doesn't make mistakes. We make mistakes. And Paul is saying, when you follow Jesus Christ, The atmosphere is there for us not to make a mistake. Just know this. When we blow it, God didn't blow it. He never makes a mistake. I love Paul's heart here regarding the fact that you and I need to be in the know regarding our troubles. Paul is saying, in Christianity, now listen, church, please, I want to touch on something for a second because it's not the context, but someone's going to bring it up. He is saying, when you follow God, in this wicked world, there's going to be troubles, but don't let that rock your world, continue on. It's part of the deal. What I'm not saying is, if you are making bad decisions, and if you are suffering from wrong decisions or sin that you've embraced in your life, this message and Paul's teaching has nothing to do with that right now. The context is talking about following Jesus and having troubles. Being obedient to God, you're going to have troubles in this world. But we have unlimited access to God. Don't be ignorant about that very thing. Secondly, look at this. Look at verse 8 also. He says that we were burdened beyond measure. Burdened. Number two is this, knowing that the weight will be too much. Can you write that down? You need this. I need it. Put it on the screens, guide. Knowing that the weight will be too much. We need to be in the know, knowing that we have unlimited access to God. Don't be ignorant about that. And secondly, knowing that the weight that we bear, the burden in this life will be too much for us. I should have put an us on the end of much, huh? Us. We need to just swallow that knowledge right here, right now. It is incumbent. It is, listen, can I say this? It's normal for us right now to be carrying a load that's too much for us. You say, Jack, how can that be normal? It is normal. I don't know if you want to hear this, but you need to hear this. The word burdened here is the Greek word to be weighed down to the point of being pressed into a mold. That's a big deal. Crushed. The word means to be being suffocated. You ever feel like that with burdens? Don't raise your hand. Are there issues going on in your life right now that they are suffocating you? At least it feels that way. If you had to bear testimony today in court, you would say, this situation is drowning me. It's killing me. You ever been there? If you haven't, you will be. Cheer up. It's coming to you someday. But God will be there. He will be there. The weight of burden, Paul is saying, will be at times too much to bear. The tension, the pressure, the difficulties that come to our lives. Listen to this. Are all part of you and I knowing the personal, deep, private, that is individual work of God in our lives. And we've got to know this. The weight will be too much for us to bear. And I love the honesty of the Bible. Somebody might say, well, you know what? You can do it. Come on, you can do it. There's a great victory when we realize, I can't do it. Now look, if you're taking a motivational class, those are curse words I just said a moment ago. I can't do it. Don't ever admit that. Don't ever say that. Don't let that ever come out of your mouth again. Wait a minute. We should always try to keep a positive attitude, but there comes a time when Paul is going to be showing us in a moment, it's beyond all that. And it will come to all of our lives. And what do? Do we jump off the end of the pier? Do we pull the trigger on the gun? What do? No. God knows. He understands that the weight will be too much for us. That's part of God's great work that's going on in our lives. It sounds painful. It is painful when we come to that moment when we say, Lord, I can't do this anymore. God, I can't go on one moment anymore. And your heart is broken. That dark weight, listen to this. This is the way I wrote it down. And when I wrote this down, I prayed, oh God, let me always remember what I just wrote down. So you want to write it down? Being ready against that dark weight of perceived abandonment. You're not abandoned, but it feels like you're abandoned. You ever feel like that? Many of God's servants have felt like that. Remember Elijah cried out, I'm the only one left. And God says, now Elijah, calm down. Your emotions are getting the best of you. I've got 7,000 other prophets that I've held in storage for my work. You're not the only one. Paul, as we'll see, despaired of life. Peter was alone when he denied Christ. So he felt, so he perceived. And what about Jonah? Now you read Jonah's life, and I love that book of Jonah, by the way. And you say, well, Jonah had it coming to him. I mean, he was a stinker. You know what? Jonah did exactly what you and I would have done. If you understand the Assyrians and what they were doing to the Jewish people at that time, you and I would have done exactly what Jonah did. Exactly. And in Jonah chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, Jonah says, you hurled me into the deep, in the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight. And I don't have this next verse, but if you threw it in there, he said, I think he goes on to say, even seaweed is wrapped around my face, like a final insult. And to pour salt on the wound, you wrapped my face in seaweed. You've cast me into the depths of the sea. The waves are breaking over me. I have been banished from your sight. Church, you've read the book of Jonah. Was Jonah banished from the sight of God? In fact, we've got the book. We can read it. More. It's all about him being in the water and being obedient to God eventually. But God was watching. A perceived sense of abandonment. God is not with me. God is not there. He doesn't care. I'm lost. Man, I've got seaweed wrapped around my face. I wish it were wrapped around my neck so that I were dead. Perhaps that's how you're feeling. Jonah felt like that. And maybe you feel like that. Your abandonment is only in your mind and in your emotions. I know it's a strong feeling. We've all been there. But the truth is, in the midst of difficulty and hardship, do not be ignorant of this. God is with you in your trouble. The third thing is this, we need to be in the know, verse 8, knowing that our strength isn't enough. This is hard for men. I'm going to insert the word burdened again, just to drive home the point. Burdened above strength. What a profound statement this is. Paul is saying, watch this everybody, you're going to want to know this. Based upon my strength as a man, my human resources as a man, Paul is saying, and to the point of which I've experienced God's deliverance, in other words, everything I know and everything I want or I perceive ain't enough. We don't get what he's saying here. To be crushed, so burdened, so weighted down, and all of this for the ministry of God? This is what God's servants get? Now, you know the answer to that if you were here last week. When we know the answer to this, we actually embrace these things because what is on the other end is so glorious that what is suffered now is nothing in comparison. But we need to be in the know that our strength isn't enough. We can't do this on our own. Listen to this, everybody. Paul is saying, I have come to that point of self-deficiency. Not self-reliance, not self-dependence, self-deficiency. I can't do it. I've come to the end of myself. Psalm 61, verse 1 says, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Your heart is in a place where there's no recovery. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. That enemy may be an army pursuing you, maybe some lunatic pursuing you, but it could be the enemy in your heart and in your mind, fear and doubt coming against you, emotions running amok. The fourth thing under this point is this. We need to be in the know, church, in verse 8, knowing that fear kills every time. Fear. Look at it. It kills us every time. Fear. The Bible tells us perfect love casts out all fear. Isn't that interesting? Don't you think, watch, everybody, you with me? You guys are quiet. You with me? Don't you think the opposite of love would be hate? Not according to God. Isn't that weird? According to God, the opposite of love is fear. Go chew on that for a while, man. That's worthy of meditation. The opposite of knowing God's love is the burden of fear. You know, fear manifests itself in all kinds of ways. My goodness, I don't have the time to list them. Certainly anxiety, stress, timidity, worry. Phobias. Fear. We need to be in the know because fear should no longer govern the Christian's life. One of the things that just pops into my head, and maybe I'll regret it later, but I have such incredible respect for people when we go out into the bay there in Newport to baptize people, and every time, sometimes a couple times on a baptism Sunday, someone will come up to me and they're shaking and they have a half smile on their face and they're saying, "Pastor Jack, you have no idea what it takes for me to be standing here right now. I want to be baptized so bad. I want to follow Jesus so bad, but I can't swim. I have a fear of water. I can only take a bath in 3 inches of water. I almost drowned as a child and I'm terrified. I'm gonna let you hold me under. I've never been underwater since the day that I almost drowned." You guys, this is huge. My heart, I that makes my day. Because you know, they're not trusting me. You understand that? They've had too much trauma to trust me. They can only go to God. And maybe life is like that with you. You feel like you're underwater or you're going down. And you're trusting the Lord. Fear kills. He says that they were burdened so that we despaired even of life. This is the apostle bearing his heart saying, we thought we were going to die, and that's no joke. The word despaired, listen to this. The word means to be at the point of being utterly lost, to go to the depths of despondency, to be in full and total despair. I don't know if I've ever been there. I don't know if you've ever been there, but Paul is saying, we resigned our hope of ever making it through alive. Wow. He preached the gospel at the risk of death. He was a Christian knowing it could cost him his life. And there are Christians today and people becoming Christians today in areas of the world that they are adopting a death sentence. And the church today is under persecution globally like no other time that we know of in human history. And people are willingly accepting Christ, knowing that it could kill them. God help us, God prevent us from being fair weather Christians. Oh God in heaven, none of us have been tested at this point, as far as I know.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called God's Plan in Our Troubles, taken from a paragraph in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it's a valuable lesson in how our Lord uses difficult circumstances in the lives of believers for His glory and our growth. God's Plan in Our Troubles, it's part of Pastor Jack's series through this New Testament book of 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, for the month of August, Pastor Jack has selected an informative book that takes a look at the judgment seat of Christ. Remember that if you are a believer, you will still face judgment, a different kind, but judgment nonetheless. And that's precisely what this book deals with. It's called Your Eternal Reward by Erwin Lutzer. Your Eternal Reward examines what Scripture says about our eternal reward as believers. We may not lose our entrance to heaven, but what we do in our earthly life will determine our standing in the eternal kingdom. Your Eternal Reward by Erwin Lutzer, Pastor Jack's hand-selected book of the month for Real Radio listeners. It's available for purchase at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or if you'd like to call us, our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.